night, ladies and gentlemen, and if you're living in Southern California and L.A. and in specific, you'll know what's going on down there. The winds are supposed to kick up. I'm not sure what the current status of it is right now, but if it kicks up again, don't worry, the arsonists will get back out at work right away, and we'll have more fires and probably more tragedy. It's a bad thing down there. I've watched Santa Ana winds and lived through them for many, many years when I lived in Santa Barbara. And there's no question about it. When they come roaring over the mountains, and this is back in the day before they were controlled or caused, they come down toward the ocean. And if you know Santa Barbara at all, the mountains are about, 4,500 feet, something like that, 5,000. It comes down, and it comes down roaring. And as it moves across the landscape, it actually dries out. It loses moisture. And it's also full of positive ions, which actually do impact people in terms of their behavior and other normal day-to-day functions. It's a strange thing, these winds. They are quite deadly. I watched one of them in which we lost over 750 homes at one particular fire. I've been up in these fires reporting. I worked in television there, and I believe me, I know what these people are going through. These firefighters are heroic, many of them, just incredible what they do. They put their lives on the line, and we need to always remember that. Okay, we're going to talk to my friend and your friend, Dane Wigington, about these fires and about big high-pressure systems that suddenly appear over what they call the Great Basin, and they're spinning clockwise, and in that clockwise rotation, they throw large amounts of air toward the ocean. And that's where these winds come from. In Europe, they're called the Scirocco winds. Over here, we call them the Santa Ana winds. Oh, and by the way, in Europe, I did mention this, there are many towns and cities in Europe, especially Spain, when these winds blow, they have a different set of laws and punishments that come into play. In other words, if you commit a crime during a Scirocco wind over there, you're going to get different treatments in the courts. I don't know what that means, but they have a whole different legal structure if these winds blow. That's how they treat it. It's an interesting thought. But remember, arson is easy, and don't forget for a moment that probably the majority of these fires are arson. That's my take on it. Dane, welcome back. How are you?
Good to be back, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you for your continued voice of sanity in a world that's anything but, with you on all points.
Thank you, sir. So, by the way, if you don't know, Dane's website, it is one of the most important websites on the Internet, is geoengineeringwatch.org. Geoengineeringwatch.org. Go there, look at his documentary, The Dimming, understand these terrible chemtrails and worse. So talk to me about our ability. Can we crank up, block the jet stream, manipulate the jet stream to actually create a huge high pressure over the Great Basin and cause these winds?
It's hard science. It's patented processes.
Wow.
If people even watch sources like the Discovery Channel, Jeff, that once had a documentary called Owning the Weather, where they interviewed the patent holder, Bernard Eastland, for the HARP weapon of mass destruction in Alaska. And that documentary seems they've done their best to sweep it under the rug. But he made clear of that capability, that this was, in fact, a weapon of mass destruction. HARP is only one of numerous facilities around the globe, as you know. But most people have been well-programmed to believe that that kind of power doesn't exist, but it does. And people would do well to consider the hydrogen bombs 100 times more powerful than the Hiroshima bomb. They're detonating those in the atmosphere. And so, again, even when you cover the sky, and whatever people want to pretend it is, they can pretend it's condensation. It's not. These are particulate trails. But when you cover the entire horizon, that's affecting wind, radically affecting wind. You can call it anything you want. We know it's a particulate dispersion because we've taken a NOAA flying lab, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, as you know, we put in the dimming, and we tested these heavy aircraft. When you cover the whole horizon, you're affecting convection, which affects wind. period. So anyway, that's one of the reasons why the wind turbines that they're putting up, the turbines they're putting up everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they are failing miserably, and not that they were ever viable anyway, but so when you affect wind speeds, what we're seeing now, Jeff, is all or nothing winds. It's either blowing hurricane force zonal wind flows or nothing, both of which make wind turbines useless, completely useless. If you double the wind speed, you make nothing. You have to shut the turbine off to keep it from blowing apart. If you cut the optimum wind speed in half, you make 1/8 of its design output. So, again, yes, they can affect wind speeds readily, yes.
Got it. Okay. Now, the very idea of control of weather, some people just can't deal with it. They reject it. I understand it's not their fault necessarily, but it is hard science. We, the military, the taxpayer-supported military-industrial complex, has been working on weather manipulation and weather control since the end of World War II. All right, let's just go way back. That's the truth. They got into it heavily in 1947, 48, from my understanding, and they've been at it ever since. And if you don't think in 70 years plus they've made enormous progress, you don't understand what's going on this planet. They can control and direct hurricanes. I suspect they can actually trigger them to jump up to a Cat 3, 4, or 5 from a 1 or 2, or a subtropical moisture storm. They can take those and really spin them up into something big. We saw what happened. There are still people in eastern North Carolina that are suffering right this minute. They're not getting the aid. They're not getting the help from this government that they certainly deserve. It's terrible. But controlling hurricanes, tell our listeners about that just a little bit, and then just so they understand, because this is new to some of them.
Two factors. First, about the people in North Carolina. They're still under assault. There's chemical ice nucleation. Yeah. Chemical ice nucleation operations are happening right over them. Same type of operations that they used to freeze out the Occupy Wall Street protesters, same type of operations they used to freeze out the Dakota Pipeline protesters, and we captured that on water vapor loop with 50-degree moisture circling over the Dakota Pipeline protesters that suddenly flashes out to frozen precipitation. How does that happen? That far above freezing rain, because it's being chemically nucleated. So they're still under assault. On the hurricanes, Jeff, what you see is the official quote debunkers, and they just did this. I just interviewed with Vice News, if you know who they are, with the CEO, Shane Smith, and and he brought on a typical power structure matrix minion to try to explain how we can't possibly manipulate hurricanes because there's too much energy, blah, blah, blah. That's like saying you can't actually make a nuclear bomb because there's too much energy. Well, yes, we can. We did. You trigger a chain reaction, right? The same thing.
Yeah.
So when you affect convection, you affect how that cyclone drafts, and it's an exponential equation. Very small input, massive output. So if we look at examples of this, and for your listeners that haven't looked at Hurricane Otis that hit Acapulco last October, you have to see the films to believe it, of the flyover. Acapulco's done. It's never coming back. All they did was affect the convection, allow that storm to draft. It went from a very mediocre tropical depression to the strongest Cat 5 to ever hit that part of the world in less than 24 hours and slaughtered Acapulco because Mexico wasn't towing the line, and they put a shot across their bow, and that was it. And that's exactly how it works. That's why this is the covert weapon of the controllers. They can bring a country or a population to the knees without and blame it on nature, right?
All true. Everything true. I'm not hearing or seeing anything about Acapulco since that storm, and there was some after-the-storm video, but it's been, they've just shut that down. You're not going to hear anything about it. It's gone.
Yep.
You're right. No, weather as a weapon is overwhelming in its consequences, depending on who you are, where you are, and what the target is. But believe it, they can do things that most people wouldn't even dream of. They just wouldn't. Technology is so far ahead now. Go ahead.
Yes. No, I'm with you 100%, Jeff. And so many people still want to convince themselves that our government would not do this. And because maybe they know somebody in government, everything's compartmentalized. And I try to point that out again and again and again. And people are convinced they're doing the right thing, like safe and effective, right? Really?
Yeah.
Injecting aluminum and mercury is safe and effective, and yet the whole medical industrial complex continues to parrot that mantra. So when everything's compartmentalized, the cancer presses on, and whatever agendas and objectives are being carried out in Southern California right now, and there are likely many, we can speculate on that. But the fact that this event is not natural is not speculation. I grew up in the Santa Ana Winds as well. I grew up at the very base of the Cajon Pass, and that's where they really funnel through.
Oh, yeah. Right, in the center of it. Wow.
Yep, exactly. Grew up there. So anyway, this is unprecedented. And here's the biggest point, and you were correct to bring this up right on target, that whatever the source of ignition is, the conversation should be about what is setting the template for these fires to burn with such ferocity. And it's setting the stage with drying the area out. LA's had 1/4 inch of rain since last May. So you dry the area out, and you blowtorch it with massive winds. All you need to spark in, and it's going to blowtorch the whole area. And I would encourage your listeners to search this, geoengineeringwatch.org, wildfires as a military weapon, 140-page document we found with our research at geoengineeringwatch.org describing exactly the kind of preparation that has just happened in Southern California. Again, U.S. military document. We've highlighted the important parts in that. And what's even more disturbing is amongst the, I think, 17 locations named in that document in the continental U.S., L.A. was one as a study zone with these procedures.
Wow. I'm looking into this reservoir located in the Pacific Palisades area. It's actually called the San Ynez Reservoir. Completely empty. It's a concrete, rectangular-shaped reservoir. It holds a lot of water when it's full, 117 million gallons worth, empty. And they could have used that. Helicopters can certainly dip in and fill up there, but they didn't have it. So everything was, I don't know if I can say that that was a setup, but it was a damn convenient thing to have happen. And then the rest of the whole fire department catastrophe in Los Angeles, the alleged mayor, a communist, an arch-communist, she went to Cuba over 15 times when she was a young woman. So enamored with communism was she. That's true. Mayor Bass, or Mayor Ass, as a lot of people are calling her. She's an idiot. She just whacked off $17.8 million from the fire department budget right before, I think within a couple of weeks before these fires happened. I mean, these things don't just, I don't believe in coincidence much anymore. Not much. No, so we'll see. The wind is supposed to pick up again. I don't know. I'm not watching it. Have you looked lately? I should look at Windy.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes,
Windy.com. That's a good one.
Round two is supposed to start in the morning, and round three after that. And here's a subject that we approach very carefully at geoengineeringwatch.org. When we see this kind of uniformity in the burns, there would have to be strategic ignition sites, ignition locations, in order to carry that uniform of a burn to some of these more populated areas structurally. And when we know that there are lawsuits for smart meters starting fires, I'm not asking anybody to believe me, please look it up. That is absolutely
documented. Tell me more. We don't even hear about smart meters anymore, by the way. People have accepted them, or they've rejected them like I did, and I'm sure you did. Keep the hell off my property. I'll pay the extra $200 or $300. Just get out of here. But they don't talk about this. Yeah.
They don't.
You're
off
good.
Completely.
Smart man. Well, I'm trying to get there. Yeah.
Bottom line is, I encourage your listeners, please don't believe anything I'm saying. Please look it up. Smart meters have been documented numerous times starting fires. There are lawsuits because of that. So when you look at the size of a smart meter, consider Syria, Jeff. You remember how many thousands of pagers and cell phones were remotely detonated and killed how many people? If anybody thinks that that smart meter can't do exactly the same thing on a bigger scale to start a fire in a home with no one there to tend it, and let me back this up even further. It wouldn't need to be every home, of course not. You only need a few strategic ignition starts when you have 100-mile-an-hour wind, and it will carry. It will carry through the neighborhood.
That's
so when in the Clark Fire in Redding, you remember that, Jeff?
Yep.
So I had a prominent business owner who had a big home in the more upscale neighborhood that burnt to the ground here, tracked me down, brought me pictures. They were the last one to leave that neighborhood, and as they were leaving, they saw flames inside their neighbor's home. Nobody was around. Fire had not gotten to that neighborhood yet. They took pictures through the front door. That home ignited on the inside. They tracked me down to show me that. Now, how in the hell could that have happened?
Right.
So, and we see structure fires here burning. I've seen it already in the Palisades fire. There's no fuel around the house. There's flames coming out of the window. There's no evident spot where the fire front had reached that point yet. Why is that house burning? And I have an electrical background. For your listeners who don't know, I work for Bechtel Power, the world's largest engineering firm. My home is on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. I know a little bit about this subject. Can they start, especially with the type of power source in that smart meter or a capacitor, can they send enough of a surge to start an electrical fire that would then spread slowly because there's no one there to send it?
Yeah.
Yep, they could.
They can literally, I guess, light off any house they want remotely, right? If they've got a smart meter, that's about it.
If there's no one there to tend it.
Yes,
electric fire typically starts small. Yeah. That's all it takes. If there's no one there to tend it, even if only one out of 10 actually continued to enough combustible material to take off, that's all they would need. Even if it was a 10% success rate, it would still do the job.
Yeah. I'm looking at windy.com right now, and you can also, when you're looking at this overview of wind directions, wind patterns, you can literally elevate your view, your screen of view. I'm up to 2,000 feet, the winds are now coming through L.A. from the east, and they're moving, no question, right now. Windy.com, you can take a look at it. Over on the right, you'll see a picture of an airplane in relief at the bottom of the right side options, whatever you want to do. And you can it's a slide. You can raise the slide up to any elevation you want within reason and see how much the wind changes. And I go up to 5,000 feet now, and it's definitely moving. It's coming down. Over Las Vegas from Tonopah, classic Santa Ana wind, and it's starting to build.
Jeff, can I interject, and you can chime in with me here? But
please.
For most people, it's still the bigger picture question: why in the world would those in power want to do something like this? And they can't get past that, so therefore they throw the baby out with the bathwater and don't look any further. If
sure
I can interject
do.
This. This is the part of this equation that no one wants to face. I don't want to face it either, and I wish I was wrong, but I'm not. The planet cannot support this paradigm any longer. It can't support 8 billion people any longer. We have fisheries collapsing around the globe, crops collapsing around the globe. Russia just lost half its wheat crop. Morocco lost
more
than half.
I didn't hear that. That's interesting. Yeah. I didn't hear that.
So and Morocco is going to get their grain from Russia no longer. This is happening across the planet. So bottom line is those in power know this paradigm can't be maintained any longer. We have statements from Zbigniew Brzezinski, for those who don't know who he is, I know you do, presidential advisor from Johnson all the way up to 2017, stating with today's technology it's easier to kill a million people than to control them. They're going to start knocking links out of the chain. And there are likely many agendas that we can't even know yet, but that's what people need to summon the courage to face. This paradigm is done. We are circling the drain, and those in power are playing bigger cards, and CB19 was one of those cards, but they're likely going to play much bigger cards soon, and we're starting to see that.
You're right, Dane. You're 100% right. I hate to say it. Those vaccines, excuse me, as Trump would say, those beautiful, beautiful vaccines are killing countless millions of people right now. So you watch. This is a population reduction agenda. That's what's underway. And they have many ways of trying to actually force that on to us. I'm looking now at, by the way, I just went up to 330 feet, and you can see the air moving right through L.A., from the east, due east, right to west, right off and over the shoreline, and it picks up speed when it hits the water. It moves offshore. So anyway, you all can see that. Windy.com, if you want to take a look at it. It's quite interesting. Yes, everything you say is correct, Dane. And there's nothing. The decisions were made. The decisions were made to kill maybe several billion people. That's a fact. The decisions were made. And that's what we're seeing now. And they're going to move on to some other fear monster they're going to put out in their controlled, operated, manipulated mainstream media and keep people looking the other way. Look, these fires, remember, have taken everybody's mind off most of the other headlines because they're swept out of the not on the front page anymore. Not for now. They'll be back.
Exactly.
But this is how they do it.
World War III about to fire up, and that's orchestrated too, because you know the powers that be are all colluding and cooperating behind the curtain, including with climate engineering. So we know from historical record, we've documented this in geoengineeringwatch.org, at the height of the Cold War, Russia's climate modification scientists were here touring the U.S. Our scientists were there touring the Soviet Union, going through their technology and facilities during the height of the Cold War. That's how it works. So the bottom line is the whole circus is orchestrated to a degree. And again, this paradigm is over. And that's what so many don't want to face. They think technology is going to save us. How's that going so far?
Right. Now they're into denial, big denial. And you have a grotesque man, Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi's nephew, who's talking about running for president in 2020. The guy is an outrageous fraud, a communist Bolshevik fraud, and he doesn't give a damn about the average person in California. That state, as you know, you still live in it. I'm just across the border. California was, when we were kids, truly the golden state. It had everything going for it, and look how they have destroyed it, all with utter intent.
Gavin's a criminal. Okay, I've been in Barbara Boxer's office and Doug LaMalva, congressman in Northern California. I gave about a 45-minute presentation to Gavin in his office in the Capitol with his top aide. Some important people made sure that meeting happened. We've talked about this before, but Gavin, at the end of that, took a deep breath. He pushed himself back in his leather chair and said, "I didn't need this." And whatever that meant, it's simply that he didn't need to have this in his array of agendas and objectives, but certainly he never did a damn thing. We had a heated email exchange after that, but of course he's never done a damn thing. He knows exactly why this is happening. Keep that in mind for your listeners. Gavin knows exactly why this is happening. I know that for a fact because I gave him about a 45-minute presentation in his office at the Capitol.
That's one of the things that I think we could stretch from coast to coast. Most politicians, most political machinery is now not representative of the people at all. It's all controlled by NGOs, international geopolitics, and certain groups of people, which I'll speak for myself on. It's understood that the people in this country are no longer represented by their government. There are a few exceptions, but not nearly enough. We've lost it. It's been taken from us.
It has. And even people think this is some left-right thing. No, it's not. Doug LaMalva in Northern California, who's a rice farmer himself, I had about a half a dozen meetings with LaMalva. His staff used to call me at home and express on the weekends and express their angst at the spraying. And the last word I got from them was, "We've been told to shut up." And that's exactly what they did. In fact, they went further. They went to the point of doing everything they can to marginalize the issue, which I know they know is happening. So, I've had a number of conference calls with the Carolina congressmen, a group of them. What I'm trying to get them to do, and they're following this suggested guidance, not kick up a lot of dust yet, but to band together, gain a significant foundation of support, and then stand up so they can't be picked off one by one. I've had conference calls with Garcia, Congresswoman Garcia in Florida. There's legislation there, too. There's about 22 states now we're working with. And her aide, very sharp, Legislative drafts are being done there, too. So out of these 20, actually it's 23 or 4 states now, if we can get a dozen to pass legislation like Tennessee, we'll put this issue on the radar. If we can put it on the radar, the fur will fly. Doesn't mean our problems are over. They're not. They're just beginning. But if we can accomplish that, push us out in the open. That's the pitchforks and, torches moment, Jeff.
That's very good. That's interesting. I just don't see... When you talk to the people about these things, and you talk to a lot of people, your site speaks volumes. But what are people supposed to do now? They can't go to the ballot box. They know that. Many of them know that now, because anybody that really is going to try to make a change isn't going to be probably allowed into office by the machine, and or they'll kill people. Please just go back to John Kennedy. You don't have to go back any further than that. They kill people if they cause trouble or they don't play ball. It's very simple.
You're exactly right. In fact, you gave the core example of that. JFK was the last occupant of the White House to draw a line in the sand, and he lived about a week. You're correct.
That is how the game is played, and it's going to get only worse. Let me look up something here. I'm just going to do a simple search, L.A. fires, Greater Los Angeles wildfires. Now, there were four major fires. And if the winds pick up, and I've just looked, they're picking up, you'll see more fires. These may not come. These have burned off a lot of fuel in their areas. They'll have to go to areas where there's plenty of fuel. Now, a successful fire management and land management or land development program over unbuilt upon acreage in the mountains and so forth, that's good. But there's been no fire in these hills for over 50 years. Can you imagine, dear friends, how much fuel there is up there in these mountains waiting to be torched off right now? And anybody can drive around these back roads and flick out. They have little incendiary devices now. They're probably high-tech. They can toss them out. There's nothing lit. They're set to go off in half an hour, or whatever, with a little spark. Or they can do it from space. That's doable. They can do that if they want. They've got a problem there because the dew beams can be seen by people, and there are some pictures of them. At any rate, arson is no problem. It used to be lunatics did it. Now it's a geopolitical effort, and they're actually just harming us. This species is under assault, and there has been a firm decision made to take a lot of it out, get rid of it, our species. They don't want us around in the numbers we are.
They're just getting started. And again, what else are they eclipsing? And you correctly brought that up earlier, that all the stories that don't get touched now because we're focused on what's happening in Southern California. But what's on the schedule right now, and when I say the schedule weather, I mean the schedule weather, because Raytheon and Lockheed Martin do all the weather modeling for National Weather Service and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Lockheed Martin and Raytheon are neck-deep in climate engineering patents and operations. Why in the world would we need private defense contractors to do the modeling for the nation's weathermen? Because the script has to match. So right now, what the scheduled weather is, Jeff, for the next 10 to 14 days is a coast-to-coast cool-down in the U.S. It's a chemical cool-down. Won't be a whole lot of moisture with that. Now, and we see that all the time now. A little snow flurry... No, it's not even. I don't want to call it snow. I don't want to dignify it. This is a chemically nucleated frozen material. It's super slick. That's why you see there's surfactants in it. We know that from our testing. That's why you see the car pileups everywhere. But the endothermic process.
It sets on the road and it turns into like you might as well grease it anyway.
Yep, that's exactly right. But it dries up a lot of the moisture. And people see that now. I mean, the moisture content is radically reduced. So they're planning this coast-to-coast cool-down. When you look at the global departure from normal high-temperature maps, you see a blue spot in the lower 48. Well, most of the world is red. And so what people think, if it's cold outside their door, it's a psychological operation. It works. It doesn't matter. If Phoenix was 110 degrees for 3 or 4 months, and now they've chemically cooled them down to the 30s, and people forget all about the summer from hell that shattered every record there is. They forget all about it. And that's how they keep the normalcy bias fed, Jeff.
Oh, it's a piece of cake for them. It's not hard. Not hard at all. These I did see a report. Correct me if I'm wrong. I may be right. I don't know. But somebody claimed that out-of-state fire trucks that were sent in from, Nevada, Oregon, maybe some came from Washington, all had to go to Sacramento to pass some kind of a vehicular test to make sure they were safe and sturdy and all that. Did you see that? When they came in, they have to go get certified before they can come fight fires. And then when they leave the state, they have to go back through the same process.
They do. And there was some kind of emissions component in that. So can you imagine that they would even think about that when you have forests being incinerated and literally millions of tons of particulate matter being spit into the atmosphere, and they're worried about a vehicle that might not match the current particulate emission standard? I mean, it's totally moronic. I spoke in front of a room full of farmers and speaking to the CARB board, California Air Resources Board. That is the California Air Quality Board for the whole state. And the farmers are being made to change all their motors and their equipment for the particulate matter. And I made the CARB board admit that there is a source of particulate matter perhaps 100,000 times greater than what they're penalizing the farmers for.
Huh.
And that's climate engineering, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmers are being scapegoated, and CARB admitted, well, they don't care about climate engineering because that's not in their jurisdiction. I mean, CARB
again is California Air Resources. Go ahead. I better make sure everybody knows what CARB is.
So anyway, the system is broken. And on the planet and the state of the planet and the meltdown of the planet, even if we pretend, and I'm not an Al Gore fan, environmental groups are massive hypocrites, all of them, everyone, we know that. Our attorneys at Geoengineering Watch have spoken to attorneys from all the major groups, Sierra Club, WWF, Greenpeace. They won't touch climate engineering because they don't want to lose their nonprofit. That's criminal hypocrisy. But even if we pretend that nothing has harmed the planet, which is not true, of course. We've been very bad stewards of the planet. But even if we pretend that nothing but climate engineering has harmed the planet's broken. And climate engineering has done an immense amount of that damage. Not the only source. We need to remember it's not a this or that. It's a this and that equation. All destructive forms of human activity are part of the problem. But climate engineering, Jeff, has disabled the planet's ability to respond to the other sources of damage done. We cannot continue in this course.
No. How would you rate the success that you've had getting to... First, let me ask about any government, I hate to say leader, but any government politician. Have you run into anybody who is really willing to sign on and go to Congress and talk about your work and the truths you've uncovered? Is there anybody out there with the guts to do that now who could really make a difference?
Certainly. The Carolina congressman at the top of the list. But even in Florida, I've been asked to speak in Florida as well. I can't be mobile right now because we have our own weekly commercial-free, non-political global alert news broadcast, the most news you can fit in 55 minutes, which we've paid for in stations around the country at a tremendous cost. To try to get the word out, and I'm trying to manage that. It's a numbers game. How can I reach the most people? But
gotcha.
I am able to Skype into these congressional meets, and yes, they are listening. But again, I'm doing my best to, one, get them to focus on climate engineering, and this is important for all of us fighting this battle. Don't open another battlefront by fighting about what's damaging the climate and being drug off course, and then climate engineering gets left in the weeds somewhere. Simply this mantra, no, for anybody from any side of the fence, there's no legitimate discussion about climate anything from any perspective without first and foremost focusing on the weather warfare assault. Keep it on course. Keep the focus on this issue. If we can stop this, we can argue about the rest later.
Death toll in the L.A. fires now 24, 23 others remain missing. So this could go considerably higher. I don't know the number of homes and structures that have been leveled. But now, Dane has been, many of you around the country don't experience these kinds of winds. I have, Dane has, and many of you listening have. You don't stop a blowtorch fire like this. You can't.
Nope.
You can't. Forget it. You'll die. Just get the hell away and let the professionals do what they can. This fire is literally like a 100-mile-an-hour blowtorch. Nothing. It spots way ahead of itself because of the embers. There's just no way to stop them. And it's sad that the fire hydrants went dry. We understand that. That's terrible. For neighborhood urban areas, that was a killer for a lot of homes, a lot of structures, retail buildings, and then people, of course. But the whole thing is, this is an act of nature that has been controlled and turned on humanity. It's been turned against us, these very acts of nature. Now, it's not to say there weren't fires from Santa Ana wind environments before. There were. But this thing is very suspicious to me. And I can't go much further than that.
If I can put some numbers on this where I live in Northern California, and I know about fires. I've fought wildland fires, yeah. Front lines, running equipment, 60,000-pound cats at the direction of Cal Fire. I've fought on the ground in equipment. I mean, this is something I've done for a long time.
You were running big equipment like that. Interesting. Yeah.
On the fires in 08, front lines with... At Cal Fire's direction, I pioneered the fuel breaks on the east side of the break for their on the east side of Lake Shasta for their dozers because I knew the terrain. They knew I knew the terrain, so they commandeered me to pioneer the break on this side. So, in this area where I'm at, before 2005, the most recent previous fire prior to that was 1928. Now, since 2005, in the same sphere. In my region, has been 19 fires. Obviously, it's not the same.
So
consider, you know, the exponential increase because the fuel moistures are nothing. The trees are dying. I mean, every fir tree in the forest in the western North America is dying. Some stage of death are dying. And we have contaminated rainfall. It's killing the root systems. Official agencies blame it on the beetles. Beetles are a symptom of a sick tree.
Now, hold on, Dane, hold on. I want all of you to pay very close attention to this. He is not speaking with hyperbole. He is not exaggerating anything. The trees are in slow motion death. Some of them are dying faster. I can attest to that. I have the same kind of climate up here where Dane has it down there. He's only an hour and a half or so south of me. But I understand that, and that's true. I've had trees die. There's no reason in hell they should die, but they're dying. And it has to do with usually ultraviolet radiation. It's killing the trees. It's killing us, too, if you think about it. And I go back to my old issue. If you go outside and the sun is out in the spring, summer, and you feel a stinging on your skin, that's UV. That's UVB, which has been up to, over 50% or close to it, right? Which is crazy. That's nuts.
We measured UVB at levels hundreds of percentage points higher than we're being told. We're told of UV radiation, we're told 95% is UVA, 5% UVB, and no UVC. And for your listeners who don't know, we're metering it. We state-of-the-art equipment with a former NASA contract engineer that's metered for us. We're not guessing. We're getting UVC on the surface now. That's the last spectrum before X-ray. And we've seen UVB levels at 50% plus of incoming radiation, which is 10 times higher.
Unreal.
10 times higher. Yeah. And on the trees dying, if I could back that up, the trees that died here first in my canyons, north-facing canyons, lush, deep canyons, big firs in the bottoms of those canyons where they were, even in spite of the engineered droughts here, they were never without water. They died first. Why? Because the runoff is toxic. The rain is toxic.
Oh,
so
that
the trees
too.
At the bottom of the canyon got the big, they got the biggest dose, and they died first.
If you understand that whatever is being sprayed on us, and there's a litany of materials in these chemtrails, where does all that go? You need to think about this. It goes into the ground. The rains take it into the soil. The plants uptake it. Ultimately, in many cases, it'll get to the groundwater basins. It pollutes the streams, creeks, and rivers at the top.
Yes.
So we're literally killing. This is almost like a genocide of nature. It's these spray trails. It's the whole spraying is just designed to do one thing, kill. It's not designed to make you healthier. Come on.
Well, again, those in Colorado, they do not care about the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. So if your listeners watch the dimming and my confrontation of David Keith, the world's most recognized geoengineer. I know you've seen this, I think, Jeff, but at an international conference, and they banned me after my questions to him for the following conferences. But to see the world's most recognized geoengineer after...
They banned you?
They banned from the subsequent conferences that year, they banned me. Yep.
Cowards.
I had a press pass, and they banned me. But see, on film, me catch the world's most recognized geoengineer flat-footed, 3.5-hour symposium, pushing the dumping of tens of millions of tons of aluminum nanoparticles into the atmosphere. And stop and think about that. Aluminum is toxic to all life forms, period, no exceptions. And here's the world's most recognized climate engineer promoting that. And my question to him was, have you studied the toxicological effects? His first response, paraphrase, well, there's a lot of particles in the atmosphere, a little bit more won't hurt. Wait a minute, those particles are not aluminum. Have you studied aluminum? This is all on film, on the record. And he said, no, we haven't. Could terrible things happen? We don't know. Think about that.
Unreal. The dimming. You've got to watch it if you haven't. The dimming. D-I-M-M-I-N-G, geoengineeringwatch.org. Go see that. It's the most important, I think, weather documentary I've ever seen, without question. And what makes it so overwhelming is you've got all the proof. These people have nothing to say. Nothing. Oh, I'm looking at a feed here now. They're showing the winds picking up through L.A., and it's probably going to hit back into Malibu. It could go north and roll through Santa Barbara quite easily, which it usually does. I've seen a lot of those, too. Anyway, I'm just watching windy.com if you want. That's kind of a really neat website. You can watch the wind at whatever elevation you want to see it, and it's definitely moving through. I say they're going to be, if it does continue for the next 2-3 days, we're going to look at a number of different fires, new fires. Well, this started by either lunatics or the other side of the political fence, the people who don't care about the people they serve. This is all being done on an agenda basis.
What I would encourage your listeners, Jeff, and I know you have many, and my deepest gratitude to all of them, all of us are needed in this fight now. All of us are needed, all hands on deck, if you will. Hiding in the cabin on the Titanic will not save you. We all need to help push this issue to the light of day more than any other issue. This is the greatest and most immediate threat we collectively face, short of nuclear cataclysm, period. They're completely decimating Earth's last remaining life support systems and contaminating every breath we take, every bite of food, every drink of water. And there's lots of other sources of contamination. I understand. I know a lot about those issues also. But if this is the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat right now, we have to seal that hole or the boat goes down. And even for your listeners and other people that might feel, they're okay where they're at. Maybe they're on the front of the boat and the rear is sinking and it's underwater. But you know, it's that caption in the cartoon I've seen, the people in the front of the boat saying, oh, sure glad our half of the boat isn't sinking. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's just not underwater yet. We're all needed to join this fight now. Help us expose this issue. We can expose this issue.
Right.
We can alter our current course.
We can. Look, if we don't alter it, we're going over the edge into the abyss. That's the truth. Let's listen just for a minute to this KCAL in Los Angeles live weather section.
Continues to be a concern. We are looking at an air quality alert that's still with us, even though we are looking at decent air quality for most, but that's not always going to be the case. We're going to continue to watch it. As we look at your extended forecast, you will see conditions looking a bit like this. We're getting cooler, but more importantly, things are getting calmer, and humidity is coming up by the time we hit the weekend. Another small, very small, but it is a Santa Ana wind event Sunday into Monday. Pat.
All right, so it's picking up right now. You can see it. She says no humidity in the forecast at all. There was 0.2% since last July, I think, of normal. 0.2% of normal. There was nothing. There hasn't been any rain since last July. You mentioned May, and I think that may be even more appropriate. But it's Southern California, the whole thing could start burning. It's fuel city.
It is. And here's another very important part. We capture this in the dimming. Your listeners can see also. And by the way, we spent well into six figures on that film. We posted it for free the day it was done. I'm here for this mission, nothing more.
Wow.
So we
captured. That's remarkable, Dane. I didn't know that. Wow. Good.
It's a team effort. I'm grateful for your voice. And Jeff, and for your listeners on the Paradise Fire, you remember that, Jeff, right? So
yep.
This film footage is in the dimming. We captured blanket aerosol spraying from jet aircraft directly over the Paradise smoke fire bank. Why would they do that? That can only be nefarious. And for the listeners that don't know, nanoparticles are incendiaries, especially heavy metals like aluminum and barium. Aluminum nanoparticles, such an effective incendiary that it's the primary element in military demolitions. Why would they be spraying blanket patterns directly over the fires if there wasn't something very nefarious going on film? Captured it in the dimming.
Wow. All right. We just have a couple minutes left. Anything you would suggest for the people of L.A.? I noticed they're now giving N95 masks away. Because remember, whatever burns is going to be loaded with toxicity. Loaded. You don't want to be breathing that smoke. So get yourself a mask. They're giving away free in Los Angeles, one of the most intelligent things I've seen from that communist refuge.
And not short-term effects from that. Long-term, very detrimental effects.
Right.
And again, for all the mantras we hear that this is just because we haven't cut down enough trees, and if climate engineering wasn't occurring, this situation would be exponentially different, because not only is it doing everything we've already described, they're cutting off the precipitation. If you look at my presentations, if your listeners search engineered drought catastrophe target California, look at the presentations I did over a decade ago. Everything I said would happen is happening. I wasn't looking at a crystal ball. I was looking at data. And search the engineering drought section on geoengineeringwatch.org, engineering wildfire section, engineering winter section. And our weekly broadcast also posted there every Saturday. It's the most breaking, dire, existential threat news you can fit in 55 minutes. Global Alert News. It's on our. I just finished up my 492nd week in a row without fail. And all we're trying to do is sound the alarm. And Jeff, I'm very deeply grateful to you and all your...
Of course.
I know you have a huge following, and I'm very grateful to everybody for helping us to push this issue to the light of day.
I always post, whenever I get them from Dane, his weekly... I don't like the word podcast, whatever. I'm old-fashioned. But I always put them up every week. You can see them. But put geoengineeringwatch.org on your list so you can just click and go. And we want to monitor this regularly. It's so informative. And whenever, just don't forget, and some of you will say, well, I understand when buildings might burn, there are a lot of toxins and building products and materials. Yeah, okay, for sure. But what about the greenery that burns, the trees, the plants, the shrubs? They are full of whatever they're spraying on us from above.
Yes.
And they go
yes.
up, and all of that goes yeah. right up into the air, in the smoke. And if the heavier particles are there, they'll settle down on you wherever you are. It doesn't matter. You cannot breathe this stuff. So wear a mask. Even if you can't see it, it doesn't matter. It's there. So remember that when plants burn, trees burn, that smoke is potentially deadly, all right, depending on where and how much. So be careful.
Because the trees, Jeff, as you correctly stated, they have also been absorbing these toxins for many years,
yes,
and when they burn, they release it all. And as far as how much you're breathing, even in what looks like a, quote, clear day, but you see aerosol operations and you might think it's clear, as I've said many times, find the brightest light you can, go out in a calm place with no light pollution, aim that light straight at the sky, and look straight up through the beam, not sideways through it, but straight up through the beam. You have to see it to believe it looks like you're in a blizzard. You can't see it during the daytime. That's how much particle matter is falling down on us.
It's unreal. You mentioned that hideous pager attack on Hezbollah
hideous.
And others. Just horrible. And now the Anti-Defamation League... The CEO says that the genius behind the pager attacks is needed to help us fight anti-Semitism. Think about that one. Yes, I've got the story. I'll send it to you. They're talking now openly about killing people who say things they don't like. That's their definition of anti-Semitism. Whatever they're uncomfortable with, that's anti-Semitic. This is such a load of crap. Anyway, I just didn't want to bring that up, but I'll send you that.
How hard is it to figure out that who is really in control here? Who are we not allowed to criticize? That's who's in control. Obviously.
That's the whole story. That's it.
Yes.
You said it all. It's there. We say it here all the time. Dane, keep at it. I'd say get some rest, but I know you better. So, you know, just keep nutrition going into your body. You gotta. We need you. You're doing just fabulous work. Thank you.
You too, Brother Jim. Thank you, brother.
Okay. Good night.
To all your listeners.
Okay.
Take care.
You bet. Dane Wigington, just a real hero of our age. All right, we'll be right back with Hour 3. Stand by.